So we are now audio recording, and I will kick it over to Linda to give the presentation for tonight. Linda, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you very much. So I'm just going to share my screen here. Okay, so yes, what I want to talk about tonight is sharing photos with your friends and family. So thank you very much for the opportunity to do that. Most of you know that I really love photography, so it's a welcome opportunity to share some tips. So of course, there's many ways to share your photos. So these are some of the things I want to talk about. How to share them using email, how to send someone a link to an online storage area like Google Drive or Dropbox. You can create your own personal website, or more typically, you can create a personal area of a hosted site, and a lot of those logos are, I'm sure, very recognizable to you. So we'll talk about some of the pros and cons of them. So the first one I'm going to talk about is emailing reduced photos. People don't like to get big honking attachments in their mailboxes. And these days, cameras can have photo files that are 10, 15 megabytes easily, especially if you shoot in RAW. So that you want to have a way that you can quickly email someone a photo that's not going to be so large. So if you are, if you have a mail program on your computer, like Office's Outlook, or you have Thunderbird or something like that, then it's really very simple. You can go to Windows Explorer, that everybody has with, you know, Windows 10, and just right click on a photo. And then you just say you want to send it to a mail recipient. Now you can click on multiple photos and send them all in one batch. So that's what you do. You click on send to mail recipient, and then you choose the size. So if you've clicked on multiple photos, obviously you can't select different sizes. They would all be medium, small, large, whatever you chose. Otherwise you'd have to do them one at a time. But this will give you, you know, the choice of the size. And then it gives you a total estimated size of the attachment. Now, it's just an estimate because it doesn't really know till it processes your picture, but it gives an estimate. So that looks like a pretty good size to send someone. It's going to be nicely visible on a fairly large screen. You don't have to worry about it looking pixelated or anything. And it's not too large an attachment to send in an email. Now, as soon as you click on attach, it will automatically open up a new email for you, and it puts the cursor right in the toolbox there. You just type in who you want to send it to. You obviously can change the subject line because that's not very descriptive. You may want to say you're sending this photo of wherever. And it automatically has the photo attached, and you can remove the text in the body there and put your own text in, obviously. And that's it. You're good to go. Now, I'll just remind you, it only works if you have email on your computer. The other thing is you can't customize the size. So you pick small, medium, large, it's whatever they define those to be. And it doesn't save a copy of your reduced photo. Now, this can be a pro or a con. You may not want copies of smaller photos cluttering up your drive. But if you do think you're going to save that, send that photo to multiple people at various times, it might be handy to have a copy, but you'd have to go into your outbox and, save that attachment somewhere so that you can go pick it up later. So it could be a plus or a minus on that one. Okay, so if you only use web-based email, no problem. It just takes a couple more steps. So again, you go into Windows Explorer. You right-click on your photo, and in this instance, we're going to open it with Windows Photos. Now, Windows Photos is a program that's built into your Windows 10 suite, so you don't have to go anywhere to get it. It's free. It just comes with Windows 10, and you just click on that, and it will automatically open up the Windows Photos program into the Editor tab. So up in the corner are three dots, and you click on those, and then you can see the menu below, and you pick resize. Then it brings up this box, and it gives you small, medium, large, and it tells you the number of megapixels, which is really just sort of the megapixel width by times the height and the total size of that picture. And it, you know, suggests what it's good for. So really tiny ones, fine for profile pics on Facebook or thumbnail, but not so good if you wanted someone to see it on a big screen. So medium is best for emailing, and that's definitely a good size photo when you think of the dimensions that would take to make that 2 megapixels. And then, you know, if you were going to have a high def screen, you might want to send someone the 4 megapixel one. And then you can custom define a dimension as well. Now, there's no batch sizing or saving that I could figure out. But it does automatically put a copy of your photo in the folder that you're in, your active folder, and it gives it a little 2 in brackets, so you know it's not your original. So that's what you go and get when you want to attach your photo. So you go back up to your, you know, web-based email, and then you click on attachment, and you find this in your pictures folder or wherever, and you can identify it by the little 2. Okay, now the one that I like best, and I've just started using this recently, is the Image Resizer, which is one of the Microsoft Power Toys, and you can get the Power Toys at docs.microsoft.com. And the reason I started using it was because Chris had done a session on it at the Q&A in March, and I thought it looked way better than the other choices I had. So I started using it, and now I'll never change. I won't go back now. So what you do, it's free, and you just download the Power Toys. And then when you right-click on your photo, what happens is you get this choice to resize pictures. So that's the Image Resizer logo there. And it's only one step. That's all you have to do is click on that. And then it brings up this box. And again, it sort of describes the size of each small, medium, large, whatever. So the small, good for email. Medium's kind of like the old laptop screen size. The large would be fine for most high def screens, and then phone for the smaller ones. And then again, you can custom design. But what's interesting is you can also custom design the small, medium, large if you wish to. You can change those to whatever you want, and then always just click on medium if that's the size that you think you're going to use. What I do recommend is that you click on make picture smaller but not larger down here, because otherwise if the picture is already smaller, say you clicked on large and your picture is really only medium, then it's going to enlarge it to a large, and we don't know what it's going to fill in for those extra pixels. It'll put something, but we don't know what. So I don't trust it. So just click that, and then you're sure it's never going to do that. Now, when you do that, it automatically will save a copy of the picture in your folder, your active folder where you were, and it labels it as small, medium, large, or whatever, custom, whatever. And I like that. So first of all, I don't have to have a separate folder, which I used to do. I used to keep my resized ones in a separate folder, so I wouldn't have to rename them all, because I'm so lazy at renaming. So I just, you know, put them elsewhere, and then I go find them that way. But this is nice because it just keeps it all in the same folder and labels it small, medium, large. And you can do multiple photos at one time. And so it's kind of handy. I really like this program the best. Now, it does save a copy, so, you know, and you do have to then attach it. But especially if you do just have web-based email, it's kind of nice. So in summary, if you have client software for mail, such as, you know, Outlook or Thunderbird or whatever on your computer, then you can resize and send from Windows Explorer. If you're using web-based mail only, then use Windows Photos to resize it before you go and attach the photo to your email. But if you do download the Microsoft Power Toys, you can use that Image Resizer that also works in Windows Explorers, that has that extra ability to customize and to have nice labels on the photos. Okay, so if there's nothing in the chat, I'll let Chris keep track of the chat for me. Okay, so we'll move on to storing and sharing photos on the cloud. So there's lots of options for online storage, especially if you're willing to pay. But there's lots that give some free space. So Dropbox gives you 2 gigabytes for free storage with syncing. So if you've been working on a photo or a document or a presentation or a letter or whatever on your laptop and on your desktop and, you know, multiple locales, and you've got Dropbox sort of installed on both, and it will sync, and you can always locally grab your file from your Dropbox folder and it will sync back to the other device, which is really nice. Now, Google Drive has 15 gigabytes with syncing, but that 15 gigabytes includes your Gmail, it includes your calendar, so it includes everything, so you have to be careful on that. But you can use Google Drive. Google Photos, I've never used it, but it looks kind of interesting because it has a feature whereby, I haven't tested it, but there's a feature whereby you can search on something descriptive, like dog. So you put in dog and it will find all the photos in your drive that they think looks like a dog. Or you could tell it, well, this photo is Chris, and now go find all the Chris photos, and it'll take that face and match it up with other photos that you have. So that could be kind of handy if you have a lot of photos and you're not too well organized. And then you've got OneDrive, which has 5 gigabytes with syncing. Now, Box has 10 gigabytes, but it doesn't have syncing. And Degoo has 100 gigabytes for free, no syncing, and you have to use it every month or it kind of disappears, and then you have to go create another account, which is fine. It's free, but it's a bit of pain in the neck. So I'm just going to show an example of how to share with Google Drive, because, you know, they're all sort of similar. So you just click on your Google Drive icon there. And then it'll open this up, and then you just go to the new folder thing here, and you click on that, and you create a new folder. Now, on mine, I tend to have a folder that's sort of labeled public, and then I might have a folder labeled Chris, where I'm just sharing some photos with him, or he's sharing some photos with me. So it's nice to have one that's kind of, you know, the world can see, but that's up to you. And then you can either share a link to the folder or you can share a link to the specific file. So in this instance, I wanted to share my Newfoundland presentation, but the person I was sharing it with was not going to be interested in my Dance for Nancy. So I just shared the file. And I'm just going to show the next slide. It's a little bigger. So here's what happens. It brings this dialog box up, and you can then right away just add the people you want to send it to. I don't use Gmail a lot, so it doesn't have a lot of sort of autofill for names. I have to go look them up. So I don't tend to use that, but if you're a big Gmail user, then that's going to be a handy feature. And then otherwise, you just copy the link. So that's what I do. I copy the link, and then I send it from my Simpatico email. Okay, so what if you wanted to share through your own website? You can create your own personal website with WordPress. And we know it's free because Alan did a presentation on it, so it has to be free. So Alan German did a presentation in January to this group on how to make a blog or how to make a website. And it seemed pretty straightforward. I haven't tried it, but you can consult his presentation or you can contact him directly. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. Or more commonly, you have a sort of personal area of a hosted site. So Facebook, very common. So I'll just go through some of the pros and cons here. So Facebook, I use Facebook, but I'm not using it to post, you know, my trip to Europe or something like that. I'm just putting a few pictures up every now and then, maybe every few days. Just, you know, little random thoughts, random photos from around the neighborhood or something. It's not what I consider a serious site for showing photos. And the downside is, like, if someone says, oh, do you have any photos from that trip you took 5 years ago? Well, first of all, I'd have to try and scroll through a million things in my posts on Facebook. And then I don't think I can send them a link unless they're a Facebook member. So I find it, you know, not appropriate for any serious albums that I want to post online. Instagram is fine, but it tends to be geared to posting photos that you've taken with your cell phone. And I take some photos with my cell phone, but I don't usually want to post them. They're not usually the kind I want to post, but I have an account with Instagram because my sisters might post the picture of the garden or their latest meal they've cooked or something. So I have an account, but I never post myself. And then Flickr, I guess, is the oldest one. And it was actually recently bought, 2018, it was bought by SmugMug, but it's the longest standing one, I would think. But it does have restriction. You can only post 1,000 photos. Now, my Shutterfly one right now, I've got over 5,000 photos. So I would find that hard because, again, if someone says, you know, can you send me the link to your photo album from your trip to the Danube and it was 10 years ago, I can just go find it in Shutterfly. But Flickr probably would have removed it long ago. So that's a bit restrictive. I'm going to focus tonight on Shutterfly, so I won't talk much about that this second, but we'll skip to SmugMug. Now, SmugMug is a good site if you're a serious photographer. You have to pay quite a bit, $10 per month, but it gives you the mechanism on the site by which you could sell your photos. So someone could see a photo they liked of yours, and if they click on it and they buy it, you get that money. You can do that in Shutterfly if somebody has an account with Shutterfly and they see that I've posted a really nice picture of their dog. They can go buy it, but I'm not going to get any money from that. Shutterfly will. But I like the fact that I don't have to order that photo from them and have it, you know, mailed to me and then get it over to them. So it is one of the advantages if people do become members of your site, but we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So why Shutterfly? So just to summarize, unlimited free storage, which I really like, got your own customizable personal website.
Linda, if I can interrupt just as you're getting into the more substantive portion, just a couple of things that have come up. One person said they tried sharing something in Google Drive, but it was limited to someone else with a Gmail account. Now, I know more accurately that would be a Google account as opposed to necessarily a Gmail account. I can expand on that just a little bit, that with Google Drive, you can definitely share it to anyone you give a link to. So you can create a link, and then anybody who has access to that link, and you can set it up so that it's read-only or read-write if you really want to. And then anybody you give that link to, they can just click it, and they will be in, and they will be able to access your content. If you want to restrict it to a specific person, yes, they have to have a Google account. And after all, that's really the only security model that Google has access to. And so if you want to restrict it to specific people, they have to have a Google account, which you can get for free anyways. But that is the way it can work.
Yeah, I haven't had any trouble sharing. I hope that wouldn't be the default, that they would have that set.
If you go in and you try to specify a person as opposed to just say give a sharing link, then that's when you get into that restriction. And then Alan posted that he says, does that include sharing the actual folder, or is it just if you send a link to the folder? When you send a link, that's the way you do it, is that you send a link to the folder. They click on the link. It will access that particular folder or particular item if you just share a specific item within the folder.
So either way, you can get it's a link that never changes as long as you don't move the files around or move them to another folder. So the folder link is always the same. So if someone knows to always look in your public folder, they can use an old link for sure. You just, as I say, you can update things within the folder, within the file, but just don't move them around.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I think is really important too, is if you're sharing through any cloud storage like that, that you're using for personal information as well as stuff you want to share, I highly recommend that you set up right off the root of your cloud storage, a folder called public or share or something like that. It's really, really important because you don't want to accidentally share personal information.
Yeah, it just makes it easier. But you may have a series. You may say, okay, I'm going to have one marked private, and then you'll have one marked, this is my photo club, this is my, you know, aerobics classes, whatever. You may have different groups, whatever works for you. But for sure, it's a good idea to have all your more private ones in a separate area from what you consider to be your public ones.
Yep. That's all the questions for now.
Okay, great. Thanks. So, yeah, so unlimited free storage, customizable personal website, which I think they look quite attractive. The ability to post large albums, any number of albums. You can rearrange the albums, see them all. It's really nice that way. And if someone is a member of your site, you will receive an email anytime someone makes a comment on an individual photo. So Shutterfly will send you an email that says, this person has commented on this photo and here's what they said. So that's kind of nice. But again, that's if they become a member of your site, and that's not required. And the other thing is that you can access the other area of Shutterfly, which is where they make their money. And they sell you products that you can create using your photos, like a mug with your dog's picture on it, or, you know, a photo book, which I'll hopefully try and show you tonight. So that's a nice feature in that it's all there together. Now, the downsides of Shutterfly are that they do reduce the photos just slightly in terms of resolution. It's not critical for viewing. The photos look great, but don't use it for backup storage because it won't be the size of your original photos. And there are ads off to the side. They're usually static when you open an album, so they're just pretty easy to ignore because they're static. But there are ways around how you can look at your photos without the ads, but there is that. And you will receive regular emails about specials. Now, I like that because they off once or twice a year, sometimes more, they'll give a free 8x8 photo book. And so I often have one ready, and then I just wait for that special to come in and I get a free book. But so some of the specials I'm interested in, a lot I'm not, so I just delete them. But, you know, you never pay full price for anything at Shutterfly. If you do start using the project side of things, as I say, the shared site is free. But if you do start making projects, never pay full price because there's always 50% off sales, 40%. And, you know, literally the day after you start making a project, they will send you an email. Oh, finish your project, get 30% off. So never pay full price. And they're American prices. So and there's no free shipping. Free shipping only applies to American customers unless you have a USA address, which isn't doing you much good these days. Okay, so this is what you would do if you were going to create a shared site at Shutterfly. You just sign up and give your first name, last name, an email address, password. That's it. You're good to go. You sign back in and you click on share site. Now, as I say, there's different areas of Shutterfly. There are my photos. I don't use it very much. There's albums there. They seem to create albums with my photos, but they're not a shared area. That's not an area that you would share with anyone, but you could have some photos stored there and use them for other things. The My Projects is where, you know, I might have created books or mugs or luggage tags or quilts or whatever. But we're going to click on Make a Free Site. And then because I'm making a new site here, because I already have sites, I've got my Linda's Photos where I'm the owner. I'm a member of Diane's Travel Photos. I guess I'm a co-owner with Chris's pics. And then I'm an owner of Linda Buskey as well. And then you just click on create a site. Now, don't click on anything to the right because those are ads and it'll just take you to their website and try and sell you something. So make sure you click on make a free site. And then it's going to come up with a box like this where you can choose a sort of style. You can change it later, but choose a style and you name your site. Your site can be called anything you want, but your URL has to be unique. So you're not going to get Christopher Taylor. You're not going to get Mike Taylor. But you can get Linda Buskey. So I was able to grab Linda Buskey. But for the most part, you know, if you do have a common name, you're going to have to get a little more creative. So I'm just going to skip to the next slide here. So we've selected travel. So that's what I'm going to show you tonight. So travel layout for the website. And then I was teaching this with the library. And so I did one called Just the Test. And when I put in the URL, Just the Test, it had already been taken. So I ended up with Just the Test 424 or something. So yeah, hard to get a unique name. Now, about you, who can view the site. So the bottom bullet is anyone with the website. So that means you could send it to anyone, they could send it to anyone, and the world could see it. The world's not particularly interested in my photos, so I'm not really worried about anybody sending on my URL. But in theory, if they had your URL or they hacked into it, then they could see all your pictures and do whatever they want with them. So when Chris first started setting up his site, he decided, well, I'm not sure I like that. Maybe I will just restrict it to people that are my friends and family and ask them to just become a member of my site. And to do that, you have to create a Shutterfly account. Like I showed you, just give your name and your email address and you get a Shutterfly account. It doesn't cost you anything. But just that was enough to deter people. They didn't want to get all the advertising. They didn't want to be a member of a site that they thought they may never use. They weren't photographers necessarily. And so he posted pictures and nobody ever looked at them. So that was unfortunate. So he decided, okay, I'm just going to go with option two. And that's the option I use as well, is that anybody can see my website. So I recommend that. Okay, so then you choose. Now, this is, again, under the travel category. So there's other templates, but this is you can choose a color for the travel website template. And you can change it at any time. You're not locked in. And then you just indicate you're not a robot. And you say create site. Okay. And then it takes you to this boilerplate kind of template. And the words are boilerplate. They've been created by Shutterfly. And you can edit them, of course, and what have you. But just draw your attention to the fact that don't find this particularly intuitive, that the very first time you're on your website, what do you want to do? Well, you want to upload a photo album, right? That's why you created it. And there's no section that says, add your first photo album here. It says, add other sections to your site, such as calendar, message board, and more. Unless they've changed that, that's what it reads. And I don't find that particularly intuitive. But anyway, click on it regardless. And then it will ask you what kinds of albums and that do you want? Well, I want to upload pictures and albums. And you say add that section. And then if you do have pictures at Shutterfly, if you already have an account with Shutterfly, you can go get them from there. But typically I'm uploading new pictures. So I click the second option, upload. And then here's where you can change the name of the album, because it's going to default to the date. And so if you want to call it something a little more descriptive, that's where you change it. And then you click on choose photos and where you want to choose them from. So your options are my computer, etc. But you can also, as you see at the bottom there of the screenshot, you can choose them from Google Photos, Facebook, and other areas, Instagram, wherever you may have photos, you can get them from there. But typically I'm uploading them from my computer because it's a substantial album that I want to put up. It isn't just one or two photos. Okay, so here's what I've uploaded. So I just went and uploaded three photos and I called it Norway Waterfalls. So that's the name of my first album with these three photos. Now, typically I would put in a lot more than three photos, but this is just for illustrative purposes. And now it's very clear. Now it says, you know, add album. Well, that makes sense. So now you're good to go. It's totally intuitive from here on in. And so, as I say, you can edit your message, etc. Now, I'll just mention about this guest book. So what we were talking about, where people can become members of your site. If they're not a member of your site, no worries. You just send them the URL and anybody in the world can click on that URL and see your photos. But they can't comment on individual photos unless they're a member of your site. So where can they put a comment? Well, they can just email you back and say, you know, loved your photos, whatever. Or they can put a general comment here or talk about a specific photo. So everybody can use that guest book. Okay, so here's a screenshot of my Linda's Photos page, which tends to be my travel stuff and local stuff, you know, yeah. So I put in the text, welcome to my site. Here you'll find updates on my latest travel adventures plus local outings. So I have currently only two members that are members of my site, and they're other photographers. One's my sister and one's Chris. And so they're fine with being members of my site because they're already members of Shutterfly and using it for their own pictures. Now, just to indicate at the top here with the gears, you can modify things. I just wanted to make sure I remembered to mention that. You can modify your permissions back and forth. You can always change things as you wish. So lots of options there. And you can see I have 113 albums, and they've never cut off one, and a lot of them are about 50 to 100 photos in size. Okay, so that's my email address. Maybe somebody can put that in the chat window. And so now I want to go and take you to Shutterfly itself.
Okay, Linda, just seeing as we're breaking into different areas there, I will post Linda's email address in the chat, but Michelle had a question. Do you still retain the rights to your photos once they're uploaded, or can anyone use them once they're uploaded?
Anyone can use them unless you make that, you know, unless you insist that people become a member of your shared site. Well, even if they become a member of your site, if you know them well, that's fine. You can say, don't use my photos. But if they are a member of your site, they could still use your photos. But if you keep it, if you have it open to the world, like I do, anybody can use my photos. I don't retain the right. Shutterfly could use them, I guess, if they wanted to. Someone else could use them for a travel brochure or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the point is you're not really giving up your rights at all. Shutterfly doesn't claim rights to your photos beyond what is required to back up your photos and to create a project that you create from your photos.
That's
but
true.
Yeah, if you share your site with the world, make it world readable, anybody who can see it could take your photo and use it for whatever they want. You know, you're making it visible on the internet. That's always a danger when you do that. Realize that they are getting a somewhat reduced version of your originals, and it seems like they actually use the full res images when they actually create products, so you'll get better quality for, you know, full bleed pages on a large photo book and things like that. But I think it's about 2000 maximum resolution is what they will show on their website. So if people are stealing your photos, they're stealing a somewhat reduced resolution version of your photos.
Yeah, and that's a good feature of Shutterfly, is that once you go to make a project, you can put up whatever resolution you wish, and it does not reduce that. And then if you say you created a book, say you created a coffee table book using Shutterfly, you can't then sell it. They have rights too, so they reserve the right to have their logo on it, and you cannot resell. You can pay extra to have the logo removed, but you still can't sell that book.
Jan asks, do you recommend watermarking the photos?
That's, you know, I don't do it myself, but that is a good way if you want to be absolutely sure. I just find that, you know, when people are viewing my photo, I don't want them to see a watermark. My photos aren't that great. But that is one way of protecting yourself for sure.
Of course, the problem with that would be if you intend to make a product,
well, no,
such as a photo book, you would have to upload another copy of the photo to a private area that isn't watermarked. So you'd create extra work for yourself.
I would do that anyway, so you're sure you've got the full resolution. I never take photos from my shared site area into a project. I always start from scratch again. But anyway.
Okay.
Anything else?
We have something about Google Photos, but we'll save that till general Q&A afterwards.
Okay, so we're live now. So this is my website, and I just wanted to take you through a few things before we actually create a new album. I'm not going to go through and create a new website, showing you how to do that with the screenshots, but I do want to show you what it's like. First of all, if you sent someone your link and they were just going to look through one of your albums. So I'm just going to click on this album. You can click on view the album. You can click on the photo, or you can click here. It doesn't really matter where you click. But I just wanted to point out that when you see these thumbnails, okay, so you'll notice I said there was a static ad that comes up on the side. That's one of the static ads that comes up. The other thing you want to tell people is if they're looking, say you wanted to post a whole bunch of bird pictures and they wanted to look through some thumbnails and find the one bird they were interested in, they only show the first 25 thumbnails. So make sure you tell people to click all so that they will see all your photos, okay? But if they're just clicking through, you know, each one, then no worries. They're going to see them all. It doesn't just show you the first 25. Now, you can arrow through here, but you can also click slideshow. And as soon as you click slideshow, the ads disappear, which is kind of nice. And you can have the timer go and go forward, or you can, you know, override the timer, go forward, go back, whatever you wish. But it's kind of nice that it doesn't have these ads off to the side that are, you know, usually bright and distracting. And this way your photos are kind of nicely framed too as well. Okay, so I'll just go click out of that. So let's just go back to the album home. I can go right home. Now, don't worry about this. This just happens on my computer. Sometimes it takes me to the bottom of my page, but it doesn't seem to happen on anybody else's computer. Okay, so now let's go and create a new album. So how would I do that? Well, it's really easy. It just says add an album. So I do that. Click on that. And choose my photos. Well, actually, I'm gonna name it first here. Let's just click off this. I'm going to name it, say we'll call it Portugal. I think I've got a few pictures I can load up there. Okay, so then I choose my photos. I'm going to go to my pictures folder, and I'm just going to pull up these ones for OBCUG here. And we just say open, and it'll just show them along the bottom, just 7 selected, and you can add. And it doesn't take long to add them. Sometimes it's, you know, if they're full res, it'll take a little bit of time, but usually it's pretty fast. I hadn't reduced these too much, so it's not too bad. If they were reduced, it would go a lot faster. Okay, we got to see where they put the album. Well, that's interesting. Just go ahead and refresh here. See if it should. Well, that's a first. I've never had it not show the album. Let's try this again. Add. This is why you have screenshots, in case things go funny on the website. There it is. Okay, weird. Don't know what happened there. So there's the album that we added, and I hadn't gone back and changed it to Portugal, but that's okay. You can edit that title right away. So we'll call it Portugal. And you just click save. You can describe it if you wish. Okay, so the first thing I like to do is open it up and just check them. Now, typically I'd have about 100. But, you know, if a vertical comes in, and it comes in, sometimes the verticals come in funny, you can rotate left and, you know, get it the right way if it comes in the wrong way. So keep that in mind. And you can also pick a photo for the album cover, which is kind of nice because it's just going to use the first one. Well, you might not kind of want that particular one to be the album cover. Maybe you want this one to be the album cover. So you say, okay, use this for the album cover. And so if we go back, it should have that one showing as your album cover. And then, of course, it's, you know, it's easy. You've got a whole bunch of options here. You can remove the photo. You can arrange pictures. So I usually just edit the album and I say, let's just arrange my photos, because typically I load them all up, but especially if I've loaded them up in sections, because there's a lot of them, I want to arrange them within the album. Now, this is kind of a neat screen because I don't know about you guys, but I shoot with two cameras, or I might shoot with my cell phone and a camera. So often what comes up, what gets loaded up, is my photos in alphanumeric order. And so all the ones I took with my Canon, starting with IMG, are at the front end, and all the ones I took with my Lumix are at the back end because they start with P. Well, I might want them grouped based on all the photos in one site. So I want them basically grouped by chronological timestamp. So you can choose your sorting order. You can choose taken old to new rather than by the alphanumeric or whatever that it will default to. So just make sure it's sorted the way you wish. And then it's easy to rearrange them because chronological order is not always how I want my pictures to appear. I might want to change them to tell the story in a better way. So you can select one. So say I want to put this guy. Say I want to put this guy at the end. You just click on it, and you can say either before. Well, at the end, we're going to be after. So we're going to be after number 7. So you just click on move, and it will move it to number 7. The thing I do alert you to is that before you click on another one, because that might be scrolling down, you might have 100 photos and it goes way down to the end, you can't see it, you're back up at the top. It does not, you have to make sure you click on none, because otherwise it will keep that selected and it'll start moving that around with the second one you start moving. So make sure you're back to none again, and then you can say, well, let's put this one before, say, number 2 or whatever, and move that. Okay, so, or before even number 1, put it right at the first if you wish. And then you just click on save and you've got them rearranged. Okay. Now, the other thing you can do is if you click open the picture, you can caption them. So you can say edit here, and you've got basically, you can give it a title, you can give it a full description. So it defaults to the photo number, and you may want to keep that. If people do want to, I have had people ask me for, you know, can you send me that photo that looks like such and such, and I think, oh, I wished I'd left the number on there. So sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. I don't do a lot of captioning because I don't find it's usually necessary with a lot of my travel photos. But if you wish to caption to give the locale, that's great. You do it here. Okay, and then again, at any time you've got choices to remove it, post it to Facebook, download it, whatever. And even people that are not members of your site would probably be able to download it. Or yeah, just anybody who had your URL. Okay, so let's go back. And what I want to do is show you, we'll go right back to the home page, and you can actually change your banner picture. So you just have to get to the right section. So if we go clear picture, then that's great. We can change the picture. So we'll click on change picture, and we go back to our computer, and hopefully it'll pick it up this time, and let's put some tulips in or something for the season. And you add that, just that one photo, so that shouldn't take too long. Man, it's just probably has a big sale on or something right now, and their site's overloaded. Okay, so that's fine, but that's not exactly how I want it. It's kind of chopping the top off there. Don't double click on the photo, just go edit picture. And then it brings up this little box so I can drag it to how I want it cropped, okay? And then just say save. Okay, so now we've got tulips for the tulip season. Now you can also rearrange your albums. So if I click on these options up here, you can arrange albums. And so I've got my 114 albums that I've made, and I can arrange them exactly the way you do a photo. So a photo within a folder. So say I wanted my Iceland, one of these Iceland, or my Lyric Shetland at the top, I just put before number one, and I move that, say save, and that's going to put that up ahead of the Portugal one that we just created. Okay, so it's really, really versatile, and as I say, I like the fact that it never takes away any of my albums.
Linda, I've been in the chat, so you might have bypassed it, but while you're here, do you want to show how you can rename a photo within an album so it's not just the original file name that you uploaded?
Yeah, I did click on it. I'll do that. I'll just do it so we can see it clearly. So instead of this, so here you can see I actually did edit.
Sorry.
Gotta find one that I did. So here's one that I didn't caption because I don't need to tell people it's a pilot boat and you don't need to know where it was. So you just click on edit and then you just start typing. So you could say, you know, pilot boat in Scotland. And you've got the choice. You could leave the description as the photo number and the date, or you can take that out and write more comments. And maybe I can see, here's an example where my sister Diane, who's a member of my site, had put in a comment. And so sometimes when we're talking photography, we go back and forth and get a little conversation going between me and Chris and Diane. Or she can just give a like, or she can post it to her Facebook if she wants. But in this case, she just gave a little comment. So it's kind of fun if you do have people that share your love of photography. Okay, any other questions, Chris?
Actually, there's a number of them if you want to cover up. First, we have a comment from Tom. Linda, do you love tulips?
It's only the time of year, Tom. You know, if it was winter, it would be, Linda, do you love snow?
Now, there's other questions in here. Is it possible to restrict the properties that are associated with a photo, like location? And there's questions about, is the GPS coordinates in the uploaded photos? And
let's take that one because Chris will probably be able to help me on this. I don't know for sure because none of my cameras have a GPS, but Chris's does.
Yeah.
So,
well, actually, most of the photos that I have on Shutterfly don't have GPS. I just did a test while you were presenting, and it does seem to include all of the EXIF information that's included in it. So I suspect if there's GPS, it'll be there as well. I just went to one of my photos, downloaded it, and then I looked, and all the EXIF information was there. So I'd assume GPS would be there as well. Mm-hmm. We have a question. Can you add videos of your trips as well as photos?
Yes.
And yeah, I thought it couldn't, but I did a search, and it turns out that yes, they will allow you to upload videos.
Yeah.
Presumably, they don't change the resolution of your videos.
Now, I'm not 100% certain. I think you can just go grab a video. I mean, when I showed you the template and it said, let's create a photo album, there was one to create a video album. You might have to create a separate section for videos. I don't know, but I would just try it and see. Otherwise, you just have to have another area within your website within this site that would show the videos separately from the photos.
Yeah. And so we had a comment from Natalie when we were chatting back and forth about EXIF information. So you need to know what info is included if you're concerned about privacy. I would presume that all EXIF information tags are included. So if you are concerned about that, definitely scrubbing the photo of EXIF information before you do an upload would definitely be a worthwhile thing to do if you're concerned about that. And I think that's all. We have one other general question about Google Photos that we can come back to later on, seeing as we're on Shutterfly right now. So I'll keep that.
Okay. So I don't have too much more to cover on this on the shared site part. So So if you think, Chris, I should just go on to creating a Shutterfly book? Or...
Sure. Yeah. By all means.
So we'll do that. I know it's a lot of information, but I know...
Just a time check, you've got about 40 minutes.
Yeah, and that's plenty. So that's great because, you know, I do want to make sure that everybody has something that's challenging for them because you may be familiar with this type of thing. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the other area of Shutterfly, and you can get to it just by going to Shutterfly.com, or you can go to it from here. I go to my Shutterfly. So Shutterfly, in this area, its main goal is to sell you something. So it will create all these things that I've never made. It will say, here, look, you need this mug of you sitting eating your birthday dinner there. And it almost always will create something with people photos in them. And I post so few people photos, because most of my are travel ones, that some of these are just ancient history, but they will find that person photo because they know you might be susceptible to, oh, there's my grandchild, he's on a mug and he looks so cute. And they, as I say, they want to sell you something. So these are all just suggestions. None of these are my projects. So I'm just going to go up to the top here and I'm going to click on that. I'm going to go to my projects. But actually, we can just create one from start. So let's just create as if you were, this was your first time going to this part of Shutterfly. Because as soon as you make a shared site, you're automatically able to go to this part because it's the same login, even if you don't go via your shared site. So let's just click on a book. You can click on any of these, but all these are going to come up by clicking on anything over here. So I'm going to show you how to make a photo book. And right now, that might be where the site was having trouble. They have unlimited free pages, which is amazing because you only get 21 pages, I think, or 20 pages for the cost of the book. To have unlimited, you literally could make a photo book with 300 pages, and it's only going to cost you the price of one with 20 pages. So imagine they're pretty busy right now, but there's always some sort of sale going on. Okay, so here you have the styles, and you can see there's different choices here along the top. Anything in the, this is all styles, but anything in the designer collection, be careful, because when you click on most of these, quick view to see what they're like, and then choose this style, it will show that there's actually okay, let's go back. It's not gonna show it easily. It will eventually show you that there's a cost involved, about $5 or $6. So I would steer clear of those personally. But if you like them, then by all means use them. So these styles, when they show, when you click on any of these, I'm just gonna click on simple modern. That's usually the one I use. But you can definitely look at the, well, let's look at a travel one. So say I clicked on this travel style book. All it means is that within the book, you're not forced to use these little words and fonts, but they're available to you to use. So there's, I think there's one here, a couple here that might have like a map watermark in the background or things like that. So there's various things you could, yeah, there's one with like the map of North America and South America in the back. Those are not available any other place on the website. So if you want those to be available to you, then you can choose this style. And this style is free, so that's fine. So you just sort of can look through the various styles to see what sort of additional embellishments you might like. I tend to keep mine pretty simple, and there's tons of embellishments you can use, but you wouldn't necessarily get those exact ones. So if you click on Simply Modern and go try and find a map of the world, you won't get a watermark like that. Okay, so I'm going to go Simply Modern just because it's the simplest. So we'll click on that. And all it basically is showing here is that you've got some fonts that might not be available and some coloring and some backgrounds and things. But basically, you just create the book however you want. You can make every page plain white. You can make every page plain black. You don't have to use any of their font. You can do whatever you wish. It's just the starting point. So right away, we can see it's on sale. Those are American dollars, but it's on sale. And that's the 8x11, which is the one I like. It's a nice size. hardcover defaults to that, and it defaults to standard pages, which I always buy. They look nice to me. You can pay extra for a flat layout. So you and you can see 20 pages included. Each additional page is 119, but right now they're having a sale, so I'm not sure. Maybe the sale applied to unlimited free. Whoops, unlimited free pages. Yeah, so that would be free when you went to put in the cart. So you just choose this style. Okay, so then you just say add photos. Now, I usually go to my computer, but for illustrative purposes here, I've got an album that I can use just for teaching. So I'll just bring some in here. I know they're pretty small, so they load fast. Well, not all these albums that they create without my permission. But there's, I think, two I actually created. Okay, so here's one. So I'm going to click on, so you would be loading them from your computer. So I'm just going to click on all these and we'll just add them in. And as they say, I know they're pretty low res. Okay, so this will pop up, and this is a very important dialog box because it defaults to, yes, please save me the time and place them in my project in chronological order. That's not what I want. I want to put them in the way I want to put them in. So I always say no thank you, and we hit next. And then the second most important thing to do is now you can see here's the book, the back cover, the front cover, and there's your tray of photos that I've loaded in. I'm just going to move this out of the way. Sorry, just my gallery view here. So click on this advanced editing right off the get-go. Not because you're advanced, but even if it's your first time in, click on advanced editing because really what it means is you get to choose where to put the photos on your page and you're not forced into how Shutterfly thinks you should arrange your photos. So I highly recommend that you always click on advanced editing right away. There's only one thing you can't do in advanced editing, and I'll tell you about that at the end. A very simple thing. So 99% of what you're going to do, I would advise to be in advanced editing. So say we started out with the cover. So here's the front cover. Anything that's in orange is your active sheet. So here's the front cover, and there's suggested layouts for your front cover. But the first thing you do is just drag a photo in. So let's just click and drag this photo in. Okay, and then you can choose the layout. So you can have a full bleed like that, or you could have one where it's just in the top half and then, you know, you've got text for the bottom half, whatever you wish. And then here's one and you've got text overlay. So let's use that one for now. Now, you might not, your photo may not be the exact dimension of the book, but you can just click on the photo and here's, you know, a little cropping tool to get maybe a better crop for it. Done, and you probably notice there's some red eye adjustments and things like that. I tend to do my main adjustments in the photo editing before, but if you don't do a lot of photo editing or you'd rather do it here, there are a few options for adjusting things. So then I just click on the text box, and this area appears here, and let's just choose avant-garde or something. I'm going to choose white. I'm not sure what's going to show up in this. Let's just choose white for now. Now, be careful when you're choosing a color here. Any of these colors that say metallic, they put them right up at the top. Why? Because they charge for them. So don't get fooled by those. You can click on more and you get tons of color choices, all no extra charge. Okay, so we're just going to choose white for now. Cover, probably a fairly good size font is a good idea for the cover. You may want more, so let's just put in some words. And you can see there. So I think, okay, well, I kind of maybe like that up at the top, and it shows pretty well with the white. And then you can click on your second text box, and you might want to have a smaller font, but not quite that small. Let's try 18, and we'll do maybe something fancier here and put photos or whatever you wish. Now that's not going to show up too well, so let's choose another color just for fun. Let's choose the red. Let's make it a little bigger so you can see it. And then you can put that wherever you wish. Okay. So it's nice. You can set things up however you want on the cover. And then I don't waste it. You paid for this, so I don't waste this. So you may as well, you know, throw in another picture in the back cover and make a full bleed out of that. I mean, it's nice to have as big a pictures as possible, I find. So I try and maximize the size of my pictures and minimize the amount of white paper that I'm paying for. Okay, so let's open the book up. And it has a fly leaf that you can't put any photos on. So it takes you right to this first page, which is in orange. So we know that's the active page. And I'm just going to check here, make sure I haven't missed anything. Okay, so let's just load in some pictures. So I'm going to pull in, you just click and drag them in. And I'm not going to do anything with them right this second. I'm just going to drag them in. Okay, so then once they're dragged in, you can grab the corners, pull them, make them bigger. You can put them wherever you want. And sometimes when the site's busy, it does do that little chattery thing that takes a couple of seconds. It doesn't always do that, but when there's a big sale going on, sometimes it does. Okay, so you've got something like that. I'm just going to look at these top two for now. So say you wanted them aligned to the top. So you just click on the first one, shift click on the second one, and you go up to this align tab up here and you say align top edges, or you know, you can say align bottom edges. You can also, I was gonna make this one just a little bit smaller or look really weird. You can click on them both again, shift click and say match the width and the height. So it'll actually make them the exact same size. I don't particularly like that because I've cropped them the way I wanted to, and I don't necessarily want them to be forced in. And this is actually taking it off the page to make them the same. So, but I do use that align feature sometimes. It's kind of nice. Now, if you overlap, you say, oh, well, I kind of like this one in the front. You just click on that and you go to layer. And you bring that to the front. So you're not restricted. I mean, it's going to layer it based on the order you drag them in, but you're not restricted to that. And then you can say, well, this one I kind of like in the front. As I say, I try and maximize the size of the picture because they might look across the paper. So you got to think about that. Okay, so this is how I do it. I tend to bring all my pictures in before I think about what color do I want the page or what captioning do I want or what. So I just get the photos in and then decide after what colors I want. So let's just drag a few. Oh, now you'll notice there's a little tick mark by the ones that I use. When you've got, say, 100 photos in there, and you're, because, you know, if you've got 20 pages and 3 or 4 photos a page, it's easy to have 80 photos in a photo book. So it sometimes gets a little confusing. You're scrolling away trying to find the ones you haven't used. So I like this button here. It says hide used. So now I don't even see them. So that's good. I won't use them again by mistake. So let's just drag a few in here. We're just going to leave these for now. And we can play around with those after. Okay, and then what I wanted to show you on the next page is how you can use a photo as a background. So in other words, you're going to layer photos on top or layer text on top of, you want to use the photo as a background. Now, don't drag the photo in first. And I've got a little handout with little quick tips that I think I've got one that I can send to anyone who's interested in it. It should include that. But you can choose a photo to be a background. But just before we go there, you'll notice that when I dragged in 3 photos, it suggested these layouts. And this is where I really don't want them doing. You know, I really want to be able to choose. I mean, none of these look good to me. So you can just do undo at any time. And it saves every few seconds. I mean, it saves about every minute. You can call the project something else with a save as, But don't worry that you've, you know, it crashes and you've lost stuff. It saves very quickly. That's a relatively new feature, but it's a nice one. Okay, so let's do make a photo as a background. So we click on background here, and you can drag, you click on the bottom where it says use photo as background, and then it'll say drag the photo in, okay? So we will do that. So let's drag this photo in. I don't think it's working. Let's try this again. There we go. So make sure when you click on use photo as background that you kind of get this gray area. And then you drag the photo in and it'll automatically make it very opaque, like very, very soft. And then it's more like a softened background. You can, as I say, put up boughs, palm, other pictures on top. But if you think that's too soft, just click on it and there's a slider bar for how much opacity you want in the background. So that's totally your control. So now it's a background. So we can layer whatever we want on top of it and it won't replace the photo that we put in. So you can just put in some wall photos or whatever. So it's kind of a nice feature. Okay. And then we're going to go to another one. And I want to talk about layouts again. So in terms of layouts, I don't tend to use them very much. If you were, say, designing a yearbook or a family reunion and you had a lot of photos and you wanted them all the same size and it would be just a pain in the neck to do 20 photos the same, absolutely the same dimension, you might want to use some of these layouts, but I certainly wouldn't bother for a smaller number of photos. So I'm going to go back to one here. Now what I want to show you on this one is you can actually have a picture go across two whole pages. So I'm going to drag this photo in here and I'm going to click on this layout on the left that will spread it across the two sheets. Now as soon as I click on that, they're trying to sell me the flat version book, the lay flat binding. I never bought that. I'm certainly not going to pay $25 for it, so I just say no thanks. But the reason I chose this picture is, first of all, let's get the picture to look right. So we'll click on it and just adjust the cropping there so we don't lose the guy's head. But the reason I chose this picture is you would see that the middle seam of the book, the fold, is going to go right through the little girl, and that's not what you want. So, you know, be careful what you choose. So we might say, you know what, this would be a better picture. Again, not exactly the crop I want, but maybe crop it like that. And that would be a better picture to have across two pages. Okay. Any questions, Chris?
Yeah, we've got a number of them. Are you going to be showing more on here?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. I'll hold the questions then until after you're done.
Okay. All right. So now what we're going to do is I'm just going to do one more page, just throwing in some pictures so I can use them later. So we're just going to bring in three quick photos here. That. Okay. All right. So now say I have all my pictures in and I've put them pretty much the way I want them. I always adjust and adjust and adjust because, as I say, I'm trying to maximize the size of the pictures. I might decide to overlap. I might change my mind. I might want to move them over so I've got room for a caption or room for an embellishment. But yeah, so I just keep playing with them. These books, they take me quite a few hours to make. You're probably not going to make one in one sitting, but you just go back in, log back in, and as I say, it's saving it every few minutes, so you just bring up your project and keep working on it, because they do take a while by the time you choose your backgrounds and your embellishments and your frames and your words and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so now I want to go back to the beginning of my book, and I'm on page 6, so I could arrow back. But the other thing that's nice is you can go down to the bottom here, and rather than the photo tray, you can click on pages. So now it's a page tray, and I can just quickly scroll back to the first page. The other thing you can do on these is you can move a page. So if all of a sudden you're towards the end of the book and you think, Oh, you know, these pictures should have been near the beginning of the book. They're in the wrong order. Then that's fine. You can just pull a page, and as long as you get that little red vertical line, then you're good to go. Now, you'll see that it didn't, it put in an empty page because it knows you want to keep that double spread all by itself. So it did that, and don't worry about how it looks above. That's just how it shows. So that was kind of good that it does that for you so you don't screw up. Okay, so let's go back to the first page. So now what I want to do, usually what I do next, is I put in my backgrounds. Now, let's go to backgrounds. So that's the second tab down. These are the ones that come with that template that we chose, the style that we chose, the modern, whatever it was. And not a lot of choice here. You've got some nice grays. You've got a tan that's okay. And you've got, I think, some that look a little textured. Yeah, a little bit of texture on that one. But that's all you have. That's not necessarily choices I want. So that's fine. We just so say, let's get more backgrounds. So now you're going to have basically 4,209 backgrounds to choose from. So let's narrow that down a bit. I don't find the styles too useful for backgrounds. You can try them. I don't find them particularly useful. A year in color. I don't know what these are trying to tell me. But I do use the categories. So the categories, I'm going to click on solid. And you can click on more than one. You could do solids and patterns or solids and stripes, whatever. But I'm just going to go solids. And then I'm just going to choose blue for now. Okay, so now we have 50 items, which is a little more manageable. And you can see some of them have a green heart on it. That's just the ones that I favorited. And you can see I've got a Your Favorites tab at the top there, so we might use that. But all you have to do to choose one for your project is just click on it, and a little red square will appear around it. You don't have to favorite. You can just choose it for this project. So I'm just going to choose a few blue ones here, and and then you just say add to project. Okay, I'm actually going to go in and choose, just so I can illustrate, I'm going to choose one out of my favorites. I'm going to choose this one. Maybe that one. Yeah, doesn't matter how many you choose. You're not paying for them. They're all free. Okay, so to change the background, just again, make sure you're on that page that is got the orange number on it, and you just click on the color. So in this instance, it's made it blue or navy, or you might want a turquoise, and you might think, oh, that looks pretty good. Let's leave that. And so then you can go on to the next one. And so maybe we'll just use bright brown. I'm just being very bold on these so you can see them easily. And this one, I wanted to show you this because this chartreuse is a nice one. It's like linen. It's a little bit textured, but not too bold. If it's really easy to see, it's really going to look bold when you get the printed version in your hand in the mail. So be careful because things, fonts appear smaller on your screen. You get them, you get the book and you realize that was too big a font. Same with backgrounds. They can look kind of cute, but they can be really noisy. Same with embellishments. So go subtle, err on the side of subtle, at least until you've done a couple of projects and you get a feel for it. Okay, so then the next thing I typically do is I want to frame my photos. So that's under embellishments. And we can click on the third menu tab there, frames. And you can see that these are the ones that came with the template. And two of them are actually ones I favored because I often use, you know, black or simple white. You can go get more frames. There's all sorts of color frames. But I like the fine white. And I find anything thicker than that, I can show you the thicker just so you can see it. But it really is bold when you get the book in the hard copy version. I like the subtlety of the white one.
Just a time check, Linda. You got 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Okay, perfect. Or you can go black. So just depending on the background, if it's a lighter background, you might want black. If it's a darker background, you might want white. And you can do, if you click on the frame, you can see it does them all. If you want just one to be a thicker one, like that one, that's fine. Just click on that one. But I usually like them all the same. Okay, so the last thing, the second last thing I usually do is the text. So say we wanted to put text here. So say we wanted to put text box in that bottom left corner there. No problem. You just click on add a text box and it'll put it somewhere on the page, usually at the top, and it's usually green. And you just drag it to where you want. You click on it and you say St. Patrick's Church or whatever. And you can see it's the default. I don't know why it defaults to this monstrous font, but let's choose something a little smaller. And I don't tend to use more than, say, 14 or 16 within the book. I find that's plenty big enough, but you can experiment with that. But I definitely wouldn't go as high as even 20. Okay, so let's put that there, or maybe we'll put that over here, and we can change the color, as I say, get exactly what you want. Beige or whatever. And then, so you can do that for any pages that you want to caption. And then the last thing that I do is I look for embellishments, and they're kind of fun. So let's say okay. So they're under the same tab as the frames, but the first one, stickers. And again, there's not much choice here in terms of stickers, nothing that's interesting to me. The ribbons tend to be along the bottom, but they didn't have any in this particular template. So get more stickers. Now, you'll see that that's in my favorites. So I've got some favorited. But if I go to all tab, there are 26,000 stickers. So you might want to, you know, home in on that a little bit. So I tend to just search for a word. You know, I'd search for an item like boat or cat or whatever. So I'm just going to search for cross. And there's one here that I favorited already. I'm going to click on that and add it to the project. And then to bring it into a page, just make sure you're on the active page, because if it's three, it's going to bring it into over here. But if it's two, I click on it and it will bring it in somewhere, usually near the top. And then you can just bring it down to the bottom and size it as you wish. Again, I caution against making them too big, but obviously you could make a nicer layout than that. But that's how simple it is to use the stickers. The other way you can do with stickers is I tend to just, I favorite a lot of things because I have a lot that are near the water. So I've searched on boats, water, you know, beach, and then I favorite them because it's really hard to find them again sometimes. The other type of stickers I like are what these, they're I'll show you where they are under all. They're called flourishes and bows, and they're kind of nice little connector pieces. I'll just choose some from here at project, but I think I will pick a few from my favorites as well. So let's just grab a few and I'll just show you how I use them. You can't change the color of these, but they are kind of nice. I'll just do a couple of leaves too. Okay, so say we had these three photos here. Now I'm just going to make this one a little bigger. Say you had three photos on this page and they're kind of overlapping, but if you wanted to sort of join them together a bit, you can add in a flourish and you can size that down because that's kind of big. And it just kind of connects the photos. It just sort of ties them in a little bit. So this is what I use these flourishes for. So say we didn't have that and we wanted to, you know, just sort of tie these in a little bit, you could add something like this. And then you just drag it down. And then you can just size it to whatever you wish or pull these over, whatever. And I just find they're a nice little connector. Okay. And then the And then, yeah, there's different things like leaves or whatever. So say we didn't, I never use two flourishes on one page, but say you wanted to just insert a leaf. There's lots of little things like that that you can put in that just add a little touch of whimsy to your page, but don't get them too big. Okay, so that's it, except for the last step is putting a label on your spine of your book. And for whatever reason, I'm going to go back to the front of the book, the front cover. For whatever reason, it does not allow you to label the spine in advanced editing. I don't know why, it's just kind of a glitch. So we're going to take off advanced editing. And now we're out of advanced editing, and poof, now all of a sudden I get a text box. So that's where you can label your spine. And we're going to go down to some sort of, I'll just use Arial and just say 2016 back or whatever. And it puts it by default at the top, but you can have it in the center. You can have it at the bottom, whatever you want. So totally up to you. I typically have them at the top or in the middle, but that's your choice. And that's it. You're done. So what I had advised before is definitely wait for sales. From here, you just add it to your cart. There is a preview you can go through, and it will tell you, like, oh, this photo is really close to the edge. Well, I know it's close to the edge. I don't really care. So most of the preview comments I ignore. But it may tell you, you know, this photo isn't high enough resolution to have a full bleed, like a full page like that. So those warnings are very helpful. So the first few times I would use the preview. And then you add it to your cart. So let's do that. And we're going to say ignore. We're not going to do the preview. And then you just got to go through all this stuff. Do you want to upgrade to matte? No, thank you. Do you want the flat, lay flat? No, thank you. Do you want upgrades? No, thank you. Glossy pages? No, I don't think so. Memorabilia pocket? Probably not. Remove the Shutterfly logo for $7. No, thank you. And you just keep going and going, and then I'll ask you if you want some prints, and finally you get to your cart and say no thanks to the prints. And sign in again, additional security, because this is where you would have credit card information. But as I say, if you only use Shutterfly for the shared site area, you do not need to put any credit card information in. So here it's showing that I've got one photo book. It's on sale. It's a hardcover, and that's the subtotal. And then you can send it to someone else. So I've made books for Christmas presents. I did like my family tree last Christmas, and I was able to mail them directly to other people, which was really nice. So you can add multiple addresses here. And then that's it. Just double check your order. The shipping and handling, as I say, it always applies if you're Canadian. Even if they say free shipping for the next week, it will not apply to you. And the prices are in US, so keep that in mind. And I think that's it. So I tend to wait for at least 40 or 50% off. I wait for the free 8x8 book, but they don't give you long. So I have one ready. I've got one ready to go. I've got a little 8x8 book on mushrooms and fungi. And as soon as they give a free one, because you only have about 2 days, it'll be ready to print. And then the unlimited pages is very nice as well. And so when you go back in, as I say, so we're just going to, well, we can probably just go up to Shutterfly. When you go back in, you just log back in to My Projects, and it will show you everything you're working on. And then if you leave something in your cart, it will bug you. See, there's my mushroom one ready to go. I'm just waiting for a freebie. And then I will delete this one unless there's questions. I'll leave it for now in case there's questions. So that's it, Chris. So I hope I haven't gone on too long. Hello?
Sorry, I was muted.
I thought I'd lost connection.
No, yeah. Me just being dumb. Okay, we do have a number of questions. Probably just good to finish up the last few minutes. I don't believe you showed this on your share site where you can actually have photo books on your share site. You've got some, don't you, on your share site? So perhaps you could show how they look there. It's actually pretty attractive, the way that they show them on the share site.
Yeah.
And people can page through your book. And they can actually buy your book, which is kind of neat.
So that's why, I don't know why, but it is taking me to the bottom of my website these days, and that's where these books are. So here's one that, and you can add it through this. Here's where you add the videos. They're at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
So you can add in any projects. And then this was books that we made for a wedding. This is the one I made for my family. So any extra people that want to buy this, they can just add it to a cart, and you know, as long as they've got a Shutterfly account, they can buy it and have it sent directly to them. So for the wedding, our gift was, you know, taking all the pictures and making the book, and then everybody just went to this link and purchased the book as they wished. So,
perhaps you could actually show how it displays if you go into it.
Yeah, let's see, just hit play. Yeah. And it brings up a book that you, and you will put,
and you can click on full screen, so.
And then, so you can just, you know, arrow through the book and see if you want to buy it. So I mean, it was a wedding, so we were packing as many pictures in as possible.
Okay. Now, what other questions do we have? How many books have you created? How many copies of each? Any customs problems?
The only time I've created probably 80, 90 books in total, with ones that I've bought for other people. The only time I had any custom extra charges was when I would order three at once and it came out over, well over $100. If I stayed just ordering two at a time or one at a time, I've never ever had any extra duty slapped on. But that one time I ordered three, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
It just puts the price up too high.
Yeah,
and
that's what I found.
But it's whatever.
Yeah, that's what I found too. It was over $100. You probably have the postal carrier knock on your door and it's that exact money from you. Just to be clear, there's no duty on books.
It's not duty.
But it is HST. So you'll pay 13% if they do show up wanting their pound of flesh.
That's right.
Natalie posted in the chat window a duty tax calculator. Basically, it's just going to be 13%. On personal use items for books. No duty, that'll be it. But under $100, typically it just shows up in the mailbox.
It's just never, it's never happened. And as I say, literally I've had about 80 projects and I've only had that one time I was charged anything extra.
Tom asked about whether Shutterfly uses color management and can you preview in CMYK. I thought there wasn't, but as you were going through the ordering of the book, the last option was something to do with color management, but I'm not sure what it was. And that's relatively new on the Shutterfly site, like within the last year or so, I believe, but I've never paid attention to it. So I don't know what the color management section really is.
Okay.
Let's just see. I think that's all we had of questions for...
And for sure, the site changes all the time. It's always going to look slightly different because they're going to advertise something else. But they will make it very easy for you to create a book and buy things because they want you to spend money.
Yeah.
The shared site, it's not as in your face. Your site will always look the same. There's never any ads on your homepage. It's only when you click your album open that you might have that static ad on the site. But once you go into the part of the site, the project area, then all bets are off. There's all sorts of advertising, but you can see by, you know, these scroll downs, like all the different gifts that you can make. You know, they've even got them categorized, toys and games, and they used to have them, you know, gifts for her, gifts for him, gifts for dad, travel money, all these things. So there's lots and lots and lots of choices. Wedding.
Joss had a question about having a photo on the inside of the front cover, and no, you can't do that.
No.
And in actual fact, the first page in the book is actually a flyleaf type thing that you can't put anything on.
I've tried, but they won't let you.
And Tim asked, do you receive an email or just visit the site to know about the specials from time to time?
You will get emails every week, sometimes multiple times a week. And they will even remind you, you know, you only got a few hours left on this sale. So it is a bit intrusive, but I like it and I like to be reminded. And as I say, the sales don't last long. They're usually only a couple of days. So sometimes they'll extend it But, you know, if it says, oh, you're going to get 50% off, but it's only good until tomorrow night, don't try and make a book in 24 hours. It's really hard to do. So just make one. And then if you're not in a rush, if you're not under any debt, like if I'm making books for Christmas, I make them in July. And then the ones that I made, those eight by eight family book I made, I think I only paid for three. And the rest, I just waited for the free 8x8 or more than 50% off. And give yourself lots of lead time, and it won't cost you much.
Okay, I think that was all the questions that we had. There is a message from Greg that is going to be about Google Photos, and I think that will be something good to throw into the Q&A section.
Okay.
It's just some information about Google Photos deleting photos after June 2021. So let's leave that to Q&A at that point. So I would like to thank Linda an awful lot for spending time showing us various ways of showing or sharing of photos, both by email and websites and Shutterfly. So I think from the questions we got, there was a lot of interest in it. Linda, do you want to hang around for just a little bit in case people have questions during the break?
Sure, I can hang around for a little bit, no problem.
Okay.
Thank you very much for letting me speak.
Okay, thanks a lot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to end the recording now. And...